listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon
on KSL News Radio,
102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 7:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
The FBI has arrested an 18-year-old in Idaho for allegedly planning to carry out terror attacks on local churches.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is in Idaho and joins us live with details. Adam?
Amanda, the Department of Justice says 18-year-old Alexander Mercurio had pledged his allegiance to ISIS and that he planned to attack people at churches in Quarter Lane with things like guns, knives, and fire. ABC News contributor and former FBI agent Brad Garrett explains how agents knew to step in just before this could have happened.
What the FBI usually does is place either a source or an undercover agent into the conversation, and then that can build over weeks or months until the person starts stating they're actually going to launch an attack.
Mercurio is being charged with attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. He's now in custody awaiting his first court hearing. Live in Idaho, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
The two men accused of kidnapping and torturing a man inside their Sandy apartment are now facing felony charges. Prosecutors say that Justin McCrory and Malachi Bobo tortured the man for several hours before leaving under the impression that he had died. The man was able to escape and get some help. Police are saying this was not random, but have not given a motive.
A political commentator known for his anti-transgender views gave a speech at the University of Utah's College of Social Work last night. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston is live with more on the speech and its backlash. Peter?
Amanda, crowds aren't here at the College of Social Work today, but they were out en masse yesterday. Daily Wire commentator Michael Knows is known nationally for strong views against gender identity discussions in schools, using terms in recent speeches that many in the LGBTQ community find offensive. At the U, he argued there needs to be education about traditional roles of gender.
Obviously, it's dreadful and should be illegal. Simple enough, you know.
That's Knowles talking about talks of gender identity in schools. Protesters tell the Daily Utah Chronicle the group that invited Knowles, Young Americans for Freedom, chose the College of Social Work specifically to generate a response. One leader from the group says Knowles would reach conservative students they claim don't feel included in campus discussions. Reporting live from the University of Utah campus, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Some Utah men are facing accusations of fraud in last fall's second congressional district election.
There's a total of 13 people charged in all, a range of charges, including both felonies and misdemeanors. But at its heart is the race to replace Congressman Chris Stewart, who retired last year. State law says you can't pay signature gatherers, and the people gathering signatures have to be state residents. Both of those points are part of these charges. A scheme to hire out-of-state volunteers and pay them per signature while also getting local residents to say they were the ones who did the work. The charges do not specify which candidate or party these new defendants supported. Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national story is now a change in stance from the former president on abortion. After months of hinting that he would support a federal abortion ban, former President Trump said yesterday it's an issue for the states to decide. But ABC's Lely Ipsa reports he did not say what he would do if a national abortion ban came across his desk if he were reelected.
At campaign rallies, he often touts the fact that he appointed Supreme Court justices that voted to overturn Roe v. Wade and that he was for certain abortion exceptions, rape, incest, and life of the mother. He's remained vague on that. And Monday's statement wasn't a real huge shock, as Trump has claimed before that it's probably better for states to be able to decide this issue. But also at the same time, both publicly and privately, Trump has floated a national abortion ban at 15 and 16 weeks.
Conservative activists say they still support both the former president and federal limits on abortion.
President Biden is proposing another student loan plan, one that could affect more than 25 million Americans. ABC's Selena Wang on the podcast Start Here.
This is something that they believe is really going to resonate with young people who are coming out of college, who have all of that student loan debt. And especially at a time when a lot of his supporters, these young progressive voters, are very frustrated with his administration over his handling of the war in the Middle East. So they're really hoping that student loans is something that's going to resonate with them, something that is going to stick with them when they go to the ballot boxes in November.
The administration says they're confident the new proposal will survive legal challenges.
First look traffic now, and here's Andy Farnsworth.
And so far, the traffic has been typical for what you'd expect. Some slowdowns north 15 in Draper and Murray.
We've got some southbound delay now that's gotten really thick between the two Union Rose Park. There we go. Coming down towards 600 North. Whoa. My mind could not find that. And then we've got SR 201 slowdowns crossing most of Magna and West Valley. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
We know how that feels,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, we know the feeling in here. All right, let's talk sports for a minute. The UConn Huskies are once again the top dog of men's college basketball. It really was not in doubt. They won all of their tournament games, all six of them by double digits, by a total combined points of 140 in this tournament. The Huskies finished their dominant March Madness run with a 75-60 win over Purdue last night. UConn, the first team to repeat as national champ since Florida did it back in 2007.
The NCAA Women's Championship Final brought in 18.7 million viewers this week. The Iowa-South Carolina game set a record as the most watched women's college basketball game ever. And it says since 1992, but we can't figure out what that game was.
No. What would the game have been in 1992 that made it the highest rated till now?
I don't know. The only sporting events in the U.S. to draw a bigger TV audience since 2019 have been football, the World Cup, and the Olympics.
Turns out the March Madness tournament overall helped support hundreds of Utah's local businesses.
Several RVers made the trek to Utah last month to watch the tournament, staying at and supporting local Utah businesses instead of campsites through the company Harvest Host. Harvest Host works with local businesses to allow RVs to park on their lots to avoid camping fees and stay closer to city events like the March Madness tournament. COO of the company, Wes Clark, says their whole platform is to help benefit local businesses.
Our general philosophy is like these small business operators are great at running their businesses, and so we simply help drive traffic their way, and that traffic is in the form of RVers.
He says in return for no camping fees, RVers purchase goods from the local businesses where they are staying, benefiting the local economy. Alessandra Gurr, KSL News Radio.